While the right to life has been a rather forceful debate over the years, more recently a new debate has developed over the right to die. The two provide a kind of an interesting contrast, with many in favor of the first finding it challenging to accept the second. Well, maybe that's because the only information they receive about the idea is from third-party outside people. Now that the New Jersey Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act is officially on the books as of this past Thursday, our first guest joins us to share her personal experience with this issue as she watched her mother suffer through serious physical conditions that impacted her, not just physically, but in many ways emotionally. It's a tough story to listen to and even more difficult to tell, but I'm happy she's here to do it because it is an important one, too, in detail. We say good morning to Jessica Gunzel. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
It's very nice to have you here and for what you're doing for this cause. I'll give you a website for you listening to learn more about this, too, CompassionandChoices.org. We have it up on our page as well. I got to tell you, Jessica, when I first started talking about this issue a few years ago, I was a fence sitter. Because, like I said in the introduction, we hear things as outsiders looking into the cause or the idea, not really getting a full story. But when I talked with people, talked with doctors who agree with the New Jersey Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act, and I look at some of the forms that the people and the medical team have to fill out, it's got the fail safes and the safeguards, so that people in a moment of weakness can't make a wrong decision. Do you, when you look at the law, do you see it as something that is really going to be a benefit for those who are in situations similar to you and your mother?
Absolutely. I think that is, to your point, one of the great things about the law is that there are so many fail-safes in place. An individual who wants to know more about the pill has to have two doctors who have confirmed that they only have 6 months to live. They have to be able to administer the pill themselves. So nobody can coerce them into taking it. No one can make them take it. No one can give them it and make them swallow it. It's been proven that in the states that have passed this legislation already, not a lot of people request the pill, first of all, or request a prescription. But even those who do request the prescription, some of them don't even fill it. Most of them don't ever fill it. What the law provides and what having the option provides is some peace of mind. I watched my mom die 14 years ago. This was a long time before medical aid in dying for the terminally ill, or this option was even an option, even available. But the reason I'm involved with the organization and the reason that I advocated so hard and testified in front of the General Assembly for this and got involved in this group is because my mom died a horrific death. I watched my mom slowly over 2 years lose all of her facilities. She lost her dignity. She lost her autonomy. The image I have in my mom for 14 years since she died is not of her, you know, sending me off to school or, you know, taking pictures from my prom or waving goodbye as I went to college. Those aren't the images I have. The images I have as one of her caretakers are of her looking up at me as I'm picking her up from the commode with tears in her eyes, crying. All she's doing in my head for 14 years is crying and begging me to kill her and to put her out of her misery, and to help end the suffering. And all I could do was say, Mom, it's going to be okay. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. And we knew it wasn't. And that's all caretakers have that they can say. And I feel really passionately that people should not, their last moments on earth should not be in such desperation and in such pain and agony and filled with such anxiety. And I don't feel like it's fair for the people that love those people to be left with the memories that I'm left with. And right now, across the country, trust me that there are multiple people that are begging someone that they love to help them die and to help end the suffering. So do I think that this is going to help people? Absolutely. I think that there are people in New Jersey who are dying. I have met many of them through my advocacy work. And just having the option will give them peace of mind that if things get really, really bad and it's just intolerable and life is not at all enjoyable anymore, that they can control how long they have to endure that suffering.
And it's more detailed this, but I'll give you just for ease of listening. Patients with less than 6 months to live can request the medication. And the law, according to the law, as Jessica referred to, two doctors have to confirm the diagnosis of a terminal illness and that patients are capable of making a sound decision to end their lives. The residents, they have to be residents of New Jersey. So people in states where this law isn't in effect can't come into New Jersey and, in effect, doctor shop. And they have to make two requests for life-ending medications at least 15 days apart and also submit a written request that includes witnesses' signatures. So, like I said, Jessica, there's a lot of safeguards. You can't have, you know, the devious son and daughter trying to off mom or dad because there's a rich will waiting for them with their name on it, for example.
Absolutely. I mean, I would hope that there aren't people like that out there, but there are. Reality is that there are, and nobody can coerce you to do it. It's against the law. It's against the law for anybody to administer it to you. You really have to have thought this out and continued to have felt like you wanted it in order to get it. And then, you know, you just get a prescription, and then it's on you to go fill it. So sometimes you don't, a lot of times people don't even fill this prescription. It's just having the ability to fill it, it gets really bad. The woman that I, her story that I followed and became involved with Compassion and Choices, Brittany Maynard, she was a young girl. I think she was in her late 20s or early 30s, and she had a brain cancer, brain tumors or something, and she was having epileptic seizures. And she made a bucket list with her mom. She knew that her time was limited. She made a bucket list. She fulfilled things that she wanted to do in her life while she still could. And then she decided, you know, she started having more seizures, and she decided, I can't do this anymore. They were painful, and they left, you know, they had bad consequences. So she decided to have a glass of wine with her husband in bed one night. Her mom was reading her poems, if I remember correctly. She had, like, her favorite music on, and she just went to sleep. And, like, I hope that I'm able to die that way one day if I know that my disease is ultimately going to take me and that I have a limited amount of time. I want to go, you know, I want to leave this world surrounded by family and doing the things that I love before it, like, every single day and every single moment is intolerable.
Talking with Jessica Gonzalo about the New Jersey Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act. You can learn more at CompassionandChoices.org as well. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The Act now is law, effective law, as of this past Thursday. I didn't see in the bill specifically, Jessica, but much like in other states, when this action is taken, it's not labeled a suicide. The cause of death is whatever the individual was dealing with, whatever they were afflicted with. Is that the same in New Jersey?
Absolutely. You don't have this option unless your disease is killing you. You will die of your disease. What this bill is allowing, or what this law is allowing, is for you to control the length of time that you have to endure the suffering of the disease. But make no mistake that the disease is what's killing you. The disease is what you will die from. You're just getting some control back over your life that the disease has largely ripped away from you. You just get to control how long you have to endure the suffering. And the suffering, if you have 6 months to live, the suffering is inevitably getting progressively worse. So you get to decide, I can't do this anymore, before, you know, your disease ultimately kills you. So yes, absolutely. This is not any of those things that people, you know, throw out there. This isn't suicide. This isn't physician-assisted suicide. This isn't, you are dying. Your disease will take you. This is allowing you control over how long you have to endure the suffering.
I mentioned earlier that I was a fence-sitter on this issue for quite some time. I think what's got me into this side of agreement was I thought that, you know, this really isn't much, if any, different than having your life support shut off in the hospital, according to a formal healthcare directive, actually, is it?
I mean, listen, right now, in states where this isn't legal, if you are dying and you have 6 months to live, yes, there's hospice, but that's just pain management. And a lot of people are in a hospital bed at home, you know, suffering and just kind of on pain medicine to the point that they aren't functioning. So that's one option. Your other option is that your doctor will tell you that you can start to refuse food and treatment. So they're basically saying you are going to die. You can starve yourself. So yeah, to your point, I think that this is no different than having your life support being taken off or starving yourself in a hospital, which is what a doctor's recommendation is going to be if they can't help you. But this is a much gentler way, and this is a way that gives you a lot more control. And also, if you're on life support, you're not making the decision really yourself. You know, someone else is making the decision. This is a very conscious decision about your own life, and it's based off of a conversation that you have with the people that you love. You know, and I really think it's about dignity and control, and this is the only option that gives you that.
I think you're very correct, and maybe a better word than control, it's going out on one's own terms.
Absolutely. I think that, how many times, I mean, I don't think that anybody is going to deny that a loved one hasn't ever come to them or has ever come to them and said, please don't let me die in a hospital. Please don't let me die like that. If it ever comes to the point that I'm in so much pain, don't let me die like that. Everybody has heard that, and yet we're all going to be in that situation one day. So why do you have to ask your loved ones to do that for you when you have your own control over that now? And let's be honest, if you know that you're going to die in 6 months and your doctor tells you this is going to get bad, I'm sorry, like there's no other way for me to tell you this, but it is going to be painful. Think about the options that you have without spelling them out here. Your options, none of the options come with, you know, anything less than intense anxiety and fear in the last minutes and a lot of, like, confusion and a lot of, you know, fear about what's going to happen to your family afterwards and, like, what they're going to find. So this is just, I mean, this is just the most humane option. And here's the thing, like, people that are on the fence, I understand it. I respect everybody's beliefs. I understand the people who have their religious beliefs about it. I understand everybody's feelings on this. And that's one of the great things about this law is that you don't have to take it. People can't make you take it. If you don't want it for yourself, you don't have to request it. It doesn't affect you unless you want it to.
And hopefully if you've been a fence sitter or maybe even an opponent to this idea, like some are, that Jessica's story and the work of Compassion and Choices will give you a better understanding, really an appreciation, might be an odd word to say, of why this is, strangely enough, an asset during a time when none of us want to talk about, none of us want to think about, but if it comes about, well, you're going to be much more at ease and much more in control with the fact that the New Jersey Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act is indeed now law in New Jersey. CompassionandChoices.org. Again, you can learn more about the truth of this matter, as well as listening to Jessica's story, which you've been able to do here this morning. And Jessica, for that, I thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.